for this afternoon, amen. We just honor the Lord today for all of his goodness and mercy and for his keeping power. On Friday, I gave a testimony of one of the elders that was at the Georgia Council that he was at. Amen. And it was I heard bits and pieces of his testimony for the last 2 years, but I actually got a chance to hear his testimony. Amen. Just to show you how great our God is. Amen. He murdered a man back, I believe it was in 1974. He murdered a man. He was on death row to be sentenced in 3 months. And one of the bishops from our organization went down and met with them because the family asked the bishop, he said, well, can you at least go down and try to get him to confess his sin so that he will not die and go to hell and be lost? And the bishop went down and the only thing he said to the young man was, God loves you and so do we. Now, he had never heard the message of Jesus, of salvation of God, but he said it was something different when the bishop said, God loves you and so do I. He said, and I never heard no salvation message and I didn't hear much about Jesus. He said, but it was something different about these two individuals that were encouraging me. So he said, well, he said, I don't know what salvation is all about. I don't know what baptism means. He said, but whatever you got, I need it. And now he's in prison with 3 months left to live. And the bishop said, well, we need to get you baptized. He spoke to the sheriff of the prison. And the sheriff said, you're not taking that boy out of this jail. He's on death row. You can forget his baptism. But the bishop's wife was determined. She said, I don't know what you're going to do. She said, because that boy's getting baptized before we leave. Amen. And long story, he got baptized and he was awaiting execution and he only had a short period of time left. And he got an appeal. So he got 16 years of appeals. Amen. Now he's a confessed murderer. On death row, the only prisoner confessed in United States history to be released. Amen. What's so amazing about his story, after 16 years, all of the appeals process was over, and he was sent to be executed. And they told him, they said, it's over for you now. You don't have any other hope, and there's no more appeals that can be made. So he said, well, I'm going to die. The one thing, because I'm now a Christian, he said, the thing I need to do is apologize to the family of the man's life that I took. So he wrote him a letter of apology, apologizing for the hurt, the pain, and he said, and I don't blame you if you don't accept this apology. But what he didn't know was that that family was also saved. Amen. So when they got the letter, they immediately start fighting the system for him not to be executed. It didn't seem like it was working, so he had 3 days left to live. This is a true story. You can go CBN and see his testimony. Amen. He had 3 days left to live, and they took him to the cell, the holding cell, where the electric chair was. He said he could smell the stench from burnt bodies, and they had given him the paper saying all the things you expect from his skin catching on fire, so his eyes popping out the socket. And he was sitting in prison, he's sitting in that cell, and said, I think it was the last day, he said, God, I know I don't deserve to live. Who knows God is a good God? I said, who knows if God is a good God? He said, I don't deserve to live. I'm guilty. He said, but as he was sitting there and talking to God, he said, now, yes, we're all bold. He said, but no one wants to die. He said, God spoke to him and said, you shall live and not die. So he was there waiting in the cell. He only had a few hours left. And he said in the cell, he said, I shall live and not die. He said, the guards looked at him and said, what did you say? He said, I shall live and not die. They said, are you crazy? There's no one that's been in this cell that has ever lived when they didn't hear that means it's finished. ran in at the last minute. He said, stop, don't do anything. I don't know how, but he got another pill. He had another pill. They said it was over. And if you read his testimony, he said, I had 7.5 hours to live. And as a result of the family fighting, he said, they told him that he's saved. They didn't say he's saved, but they said he's our brother. And we don't want you to execute him. Even though he had killed their father, they said he's our brother. So the process went on that they could not execute him because the family said no. So you know what? Today he's an elder out of prison. Amen. And preaching the gospel of Jesus. I said he's an elder out of prison and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus. Now the question is, what kind of bad situation do we have? I said, what kind of bad situation do we have that God cannot change? Amen.
All right.
Well, we're going to try and get him up here so you can hear his testimony in real life. You know, because sometimes we feel as though our situation is so bleak. We feel like there's no hope. The only person in the history of the United States to be a confessed murderer and sentenced to die. Now, there's a lot that have been sentenced to die, but DNA has overturned that. But he's the only confessed murderer that God made a way out of.
No way.
Come on, he made a way out. I think many of our trials, when we really look at them, they are small compared to that.
Yeah.
But when God speaks something into your spirit, you got to grab hold of it. And I don't care who the sheriff is and who the guards are and all the people that are mocking you. If God said it, I heard somebody say, I believe it, and then what? Come on, God said it, I believe it, and then settled it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Verse 14. Sorry, wrong chapter. Let me go over. Somebody said, you should have got to the message. You wouldn't miss something. Amen. Let's go to verse 12 of 33. We're going to read verses 12, and we will conclude by reading the 18th verse together, and then we'll hold the 11th chapter of St. John. If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
Verse 12 reads, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou said, I know thee. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
For God to say he knows us by name. And thou hast also found grace in my now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence. How many know it's so wonderful to have God's presence? He said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, don't send us anywhere.
Right.
Moses said, I need you, Lord.
Right.
He said, if your presence don't go with us, don't send us this, because we need the Lord. Amen. The next verse. For when shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest? Wherever you go, Lord, I need you. How many need the Lord?
Right.
Lord, don't you send me, hallelujah, if you don't go with me. He said, so shall we be separated, I and my people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee. God said, I will do this thing that you've asked. And I'll go one step further. He said, I know you by name. Amen. And he said, I beseech thee, show me Lord, we are honoring you this afternoon. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift you up. Lord, we thank you for your word and how good you've been to us. Lord, we thank you for being a way maker, a heart fixer, and a mind regulator. Now, Lord, as we are assembled together in thy presence, at this time, Lord, our hearts and mind is steeped for thy servant here. Lord, we ask you to send thine anointing. Lord, send your spirit, for only your anointing can destroy and break the yokes. Lord, for this we make this divine request. And Lord, we honor you and thank you in advance for your anointing. Now, can the church say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Our message this afternoon is going to come out of the latter portion of verse 18. He said, show me,
Lord.
Show me thy glory. There's something about God's glory is different than anything else. He says, show me the glory. And for the sake of time, the Lord drops down in the next verse. He said, now, I'm going to show you. He said, but no man has ever seen my face and lived. So he said, you go stand upon the rocks. He said, and then I'm going to pass by. I'm going to put my hand over your face. He said, then after I pass by, hallelujah, he said, then I'll move my hand. He said, my face you will not see, but you will see the hinder part or the behind part of my glory. And then if you go to Hebrews just to get a better understanding, it talks about how that Jesus, amen, is the express image of God, and he is the glory of God. So when he was saying, he said, I'm going to give you a glimpse of something to come in the future. Amen. Right. You can read about it on your own in Hebrews chapter 1, 2, and 3. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Amen. But he was told him, he said, you won't see my face, because if you see my face, you cannot live. He said, but nevertheless, I'll show you the higher part of my glory. Lord, I don't care what part of your glory I see, just show me your glory. Amen. Let's go to St. John's chapter 11. This is a story that we're all very familiar with. St. John's chapter 11 and verse 1. Anybody feel as though you are at one of those Abram and Sarah crossroads where it is impossible? Anybody feel as though you got some impossible situations, whether it be a job, amen, whether it be an acquisition, whether it be relationships? Does it feel like when I really get into this, it seems impossible? Well, this is an impossible situation. Yet God showed his glory. Verse 1 reads, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And you remember Martha, Mary was in the house, and Martha complained to Jesus. She said, my sister Mary has left me to serve alone. Amen. But Jesus said, don't worry about Mary. She's taking that good part, which shall never be taken from her. Amen. Get God's word in you. It'll never be taken. He said, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. The Lord was saying, I don't care what it looked like. I'm involved now, so it is. Things are not what they look like. Today, we might have some of those situations, but if God is on your side, if his presence is with you, things are not what they look like. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and Mary, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, He said, and he abode what? Amen. Just because God didn't answer your prayer doesn't mean the answer is no. God is saying, not yet. So he did not come when they called, because he's God. Some of our situations, we've been asking God to come, but God has not come yet. But he said, this is not what it looked like, because in the end, God said, I shall and will be glorified. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Verse 11 said, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Things are not what they look like, especially when God wants to show us his glory. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he be asleep, he shall be aware. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Amen. Does it seem like some of us have died in our circumstances? Does it seem like we have no life where we presently are? Well, he said, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. He said, nevertheless, let us go on to him. Now let's go down to verse 20. Because he hadn't showed up doesn't mean that he won't show up. But God is waiting in your circumstances to show you his glory. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary, because Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet to hear his word. But Martha's attitude had not changed. Even in the midst of death, in the midst of a bad situation, her attitude was still the same. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now just remember this. All she did was went and confronted the Lord, stood in his face, and said, Lord, if you had been here, my situation would not be what it is now. Yes, there has been so long a place to God. Lord, if you had, Lord, if you would have, I would be in the circumstances and the condition that I am right now. Amen. He said, but I know, she said, I know even now, whatsoever that thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, you must not know who I am. Hallelujah. Some of us might have dealt with war situations where we seem as though our circumstances have incarcerated us and there is no way out. Amen. It seems like the end is doom and gloom. But he said unto her, I am the resurrection. Lord, thank you. And the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he. I don't know what your dead-like situation is this afternoon, but I do know God. And God said, I the resurrection, and I am the life. Though your plight might be bad, though you might not have no hope, he said, you're not going to die but live. Amen? He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall. Whosoever. living and believing in me shall never die. He said, believe it now, this. It's something about the child of God that's been born again, baptized in his name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said they won't live, they won't die, but they shall live. I know we're looking for the day when the Lord comes. Hallelujah, in clouds of glory. He told his disciples, the same when you see me go, I am going to come back again. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that one day the Lord is going to appear at this last trumpet, at the sound, when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that's why in this day and age, people need God. You need the Lord. You need God to fight your battles. You need God to stand between you and the death angel. Amen. Because when God is standing between you and the death angel, we have the assurance of God, you shall not die but live. You gotta believe. Hallelujah. You can't think without God. That's why Moses said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, we won't go. Amen. Today, we can't do anything without God. Please be seated for a minute. What he's dealing now with Martha. Martha is a saint in the church. There's a whole lot of people in church. Amen. But they're always pointing fingers and accusation against God. Well, Martha, when Jesus was in the house, went to her with an accusation, complaining, murmuring. Amen. But Mary, let's go down, let's get to Mary. Can we say, let's get to Mary? Amen. Let's get to somebody who knows how to come before God and present their cause the right way. Now, when the Lord spoke to Martha, he still hadn't done anything yet. Hallelujah. But God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how to make a way where there is. Now he goes, amen. And Martha, let's jump down just a little further, down to verse 28. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and call it for thee. Now, you might conjecture, we didn't see that. But I'm saying, you got to be careful who you associate with the church. Because you got a whole lot of people in church, but they have not yet learned to give their heart up to God to really serve him. Amen. They've learned how to go through the mechanics of salvation. Amen. But they have not learned like Job, when he lost everything. The Bible said that Job fell down and he worshiped before God. Hallelujah. The problem in church, we have not yet learned to worship God. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of God. Amen. There are too many saints in church that are just there as part of the roll call. But now let's get down to a worshiper. Amen. Let's see what worship can do. So Martha finished reasoning with Jesus, but nothing is going yet in the right direction. So verse 29 says, as soon as she heard Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Let's get down to verse 32. Was in the place where Martha met him. Now, when Martha met the Lord, she stood in his face. Amen. Pointing fingers of accusation. But let's see what a worshiper would do. Amen. We need to learn to worship God. We need to learn to get off our high throne, hallelujah, and come humbly before the Lord. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she did what? The same place we found her in the house. She fell down at his feet. What was Mary doing? Falling down and worship. The church needs to learn to go to the next spiritual level. I don't care how long you've been saved and how many titles you got behind your name. You better learn to worship God. Amen. We don't need to continue to stand before God and give God all of his word. Well, Lord, you said this. Now, you know, a lot of times we like to use God's word against him. But then we don't want to apply God's word to our lives. We do not want to worship. Amen? She fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But something about Mary's worship provoked a different response from God. We can all go through the same thing. Lord, when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we have the assurance from our Father that he will lift us up. Too many in church are too religiously high-minded. Amen. Don't want to humble themselves. Don't want to submit. But Mary submits to God. Amen. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now you ask the question, separate question, why was the Lord troubled? He had already told them this sickness.
Not unto death.
This sickness.
Not unto death.
But they did not believe. Whatever you're going through, how many of us really are doubting God right now? Remember this about God. God loves. God loves bringing us to God. God's love brings us to God. Our faith brings God to us. God's love brings us to God. But our faith brings God to us. The Bible says that God is love. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God's love saves us. Amen. But I heard Paul tell the brethren in the Hebrew church, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So our faith makes us right with God, makes us pleasing in the sight of God, so our faith will bring God to us. Now, where you are today, we already know God's love because we've all come to God. But where is your faith? Amen. Has your faith brought God to you? Amen. Has God come to you? Well, Mary displays true faith. Let's go down to verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man? You know, sometimes I don't care what God do. There's going to always be doubters. Always questioning God. Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have called, said even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, you know why God was groaning? You know why he was upset? Because they still did not believe. After all, they've been telling you, they're giving a testimony, a witness, about how you open the eyes of the blind. The Lord said, you still don't get it yet. The question this afternoon is, have you got it yet? The Lord is groaning and he's troubled. How? Not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because they still did not believe. Yes, Martha's in church. Yes, God, Martha talks to the Lord. Yes, the Jews know God, but they still did not believe. Amen. Jesus therefore groaned again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye. Now, here comes the saint. Don't really have the worship. Don't have the life experience. Don't have the faith. Here comes the saint. I'm innocent. Don't be a saint. Come on, don't be a saint. Because when you're a saint, you'll murmur, you'll complain, and you'll find fault. Amen. But you need to be sanctified down in your soul. You need to be truly saved. Amen. You need to stop pointing fingers of accusation in the face of God. But can we say, here come the saint? Amen. That's none of us, man. Amen. We don't complain to God. We don't murmur. We don't tell God, if. How many know that he's sovereign? How many know that God is omniscient? How many know that only God knows our end from our beginning? He told Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I'm going to show you some of my qualifications. He said, now Jeremiah, I'm calling you, you're but a child. He said, before they eat, you were even born in your mother's womb. He said, Jeremiah, maybe we need to pass out the Bible to some of these abortions. Amen. He said, I knew you before you even were formed in your mother's womb. God knew you. Because only God knows the end from the beginning. I've learned in life, God, I don't know a whole lot. I'm telling you, I'm living. So when I need help, I just go to the only one who already knows the outcome. How many know that God knows your outcome? Even from the beginning. He told Abraham, he said, I'm God. And I call those things that be not. And so they were. Because Sarah's womb was shut up. There was no way that Sarah should have had a child. But God. He said, is there anything? Come on, is there anything? Now, take your worst case scenario right now. That scenario is not too hard for God. The problem is not God. The problem is our faith. Our belief. Our faith brings God to us. Amen. God cannot deny your faith. He, everyone he healed, even the woman with issue of blood, he said, thy what? Faith has made you whole. When he opened the eyes of the blind man, he said, you see now because of your faith. The question for the church this afternoon is, where is your faith? Amen? Martha, the same. Since of him that was dead says unto him, Lord, by this time, Martha, can you find anything good in church? Has God done anything for you, Martha? And then can't you find a little bit to praise God for? Now we go back to the saint. By now he thinks thinking, for he has been in the dead, he has been dead how many days?
Four days.
Now, 4 days is really important because of Jewish superstition. Why did the Lord say we go to wake him after he's been in the grave 4 days? Amen. Why did the Lord wait 4 days? Jewish superstition and custom said the reason they put a stone on the cave, there was a reason. Because they believed that when a person died, the spirit or the soul hovered around. And within a 3-day period, they believed that body would resuscitate if the soul could get back into the body. So they would put the stone on the cane so they'd make sure they couldn't get out. So what the Lord says, he said, now, I know what your tradition says. Hallelujah. That's why I'm so glad I'm not a traditional saint. He said, I know what your tradition and your superstition say. Your tradition and superstition say, after 3 days, no hope. So God said, now, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to go to the fourth day. Because you said at this point, there is no hope. So God said, I'm waiting to show you that we're not involved. There's not a door closed that I cannot open. And there's not a door open, God said, that I cannot close. Hallelujah. You put that stone there because that stone was supposed to be symbolic of the end. It's finished. It's over. There's no hope. Mess with your own traditions. How many of us know we got some stuff in our minds about God? Well, you know what God does? He said, now I'm going to wait till what you thought I was going to do. I'm going to wait a little while longer till you can see who I am, so that you might see my glory. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest. Many times, yes, why haven't we seen God's glory? Because in the process, along the way, a lot of us have stopped believing. A lot of us have stopped believing along the way. He said, say I not unto thee, if thou wouldest. Now believe, we went over some fire. Believe means a conviction full of joy and trust in the Lord Jesus as the author of our faith. Believe means a conviction. You know what a conviction is? Hallelujah. Lord, through hell or high water, I'm waiting. How long you gonna wait? Job said, all the days of my appointed time, as long as it's breath in my life, I'm waiting. That's what conviction is. I don't care what you're going through, I'm convicted. So conviction, no matter what the outcome look like, I'm waiting. A conviction full of joy and trust in the Lord Jesus. Amen. As the author of our faith. Who authored our faith? Jesus. Who's the finisher of our faith? Looking unto you. Who is he? Because only our faith brings God to us. Amen? Amen. Next verse says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me. How many know that God hears every prayer? Because the Bible says his ears are open to the what? Prayers of the righteous. Righteous means that you're doing the things that are pleasing in the eyes of God. Righteous means I'm in right standing. He said, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may, as we stand, it's all about believing. Many of us have not seen God's glory as the ministers and the elders and the altar team come forward. Many of us have not yet seen God's glory. But the problem of the fault is not in God. The problem is many of us have stopped believing. Because God didn't do it when we thought he should have done it. Because he didn't move when we thought he should have done it. He said, I'm glad for your sake that I have not given it to me to to the intent that you might believe. How many want to see God's glory? How many want God to intervene in circumstances in their life? You know, I can lose everything in life, Lord, but I never want to lose God. I can lose everything in life, but I never want to lose God. God is our only source of help, our only source of strength. Our request this afternoon, whatever your situation may be, we should ask God to show me your glory. Can we say, show me?